Our Father God, we praise you that Christmas is a time to celebrate. That the Christmas story in the Bible gives good news to everyone who believes it. And so please help us now as we look at what your Bible says. Please help us to see that it's good news for us right here, right now. Amen. So someone asked you, why do we celebrate Christmas? What would you say? Again, you're allowed to answer if you want to. I've got this question on the slide, Alan. Why do you celebrate Christmas? What would you say? Yeah. Because Jesus was born. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's a great answer. Was someone going to say something other than that? Maybe there's something that you like about how we celebrate Christmas. But that's exactly right. We celebrate Christmas because we're celebrating that Jesus was born. But could you imagine someone looking at you then and saying, so what? So what if Jesus was born? I mean, when a baby is born, that's a good reason to celebrate, isn't it? When little sister had a baby, nearly as quickly as she could, she packed up her bags and she went to visit so that she could meet a new little niece and so she could celebrate with her sister. Lil and I have had four babies. They're not really babies anymore. They've grown up now a bit. And when they were born, we celebrated and other people came and celebrated with us. But none of their birthdays is a national holiday. We thought about some famous babies earlier, didn't we? But not even any of their birthdays is a national holiday, as far as I know. Could you imagine if it was your birthday? And your family started singing, happy birthday to you, happy birthday. And then as you were singing, you heard a sound and you went outside and you realized that people all down your street were singing happy birthday as well. And everyone in your street was celebrating your birthday. And then a bit later on in the day, you went into town and you found out that people all around town had celebrations up and they were eating cake and everyone in town was celebrating your birthday. And then you turn on the news and you find out that people in other countries are having parties and giving each other presents. All across the five continents, people are celebrating your birthday. I'm not going to be able to put this on quickly. I'm just going to hold it here like this. All around the world, people celebrating one person's birthday. It's kind of strange, isn't it? It's not mine. Oh, sorry. Thanks for lending it to me. All around the world, people celebrating one baby's birthday. One baby who was born 2,000 years ago and over 2,000 miles away. Why is that? Well, these verses in Luke's Gospel give us some clues. Over the last weeks we've been getting ready for Christmas, haven't we, by looking at the beginning of Luke's gospel. Remember, Luke was a doctor. That was his job before he started traveling around and telling people about Jesus. And when he came to write down his gospel, he was like a detective. He was searching out the clues, finding out all the evidence, meeting all of the eyewitnesses, and then writing it all down. And last week we heard about what happened when one of God's messengers appeared to Mary, an ordinary girl, an angel from God. Mary wasn't expecting that. As if that wasn't enough, the angel told her that she was going to have a baby. Mary was not expecting that. And to make matters worse, or maybe better, depending on how you see it, the angel said that the baby that she was going to have was going to be God's son. Mary would be the mum, and God would be the dad. Mary definitely was not expecting that. She said, how will it be? And the angel said, in short, God will do it. And the angel also said, by the way, you know Elizabeth, who's really old, she's going to have a baby too. Well, Mary believed God, and today we're going to find out what happens next. You see, Elizabeth was Mary's relative. We don't quite know if she was Mary's cousin. Have you got a cousin? Or if she was Mary's auntie. Maybe you've got an auntie. We don't know exactly how they were related, but she was Mary's relative. And Mary packed her bag, like I've done here, and got ready to go and see Elizabeth. Now, what do you think Mary was thinking as she traveled to Elizabeth's house? I need to go over here, otherwise the people who are watching online can't see me anymore. It says Mary had believed God, but do you think that part of her was thinking, can it really be true? Could Elizabeth really be having the baby? You know, it's a bit like if your gran was expecting a baby. Elizabeth was really old. And what if Mary arrives at Elizabeth's house and it turns out she's not pregnant at all? Maybe all the other things that the angel said aren't true either. Doesn't sound really likely, does it? Maybe that's what she was thinking as she was walking along. Well, we've seen already what happened when Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house. Let's have a look at those verses in the Bible. If you've got a Bible there, it's in Luke 1, and we're starting at verse 39. Right at the beginning, still at Luke's Gospel. We'll start to see why all over the world, people today still celebrate Jesus' birthday. Let's see first what that baby meant to Elizabeth. What did that baby mean to Elizabeth? Well, she said that baby brought her joy. Adam, can you move on about 10 slides, please? Yes. Thank you. As soon as Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house, what happened? The baby in Elizabeth's tummy, what did it do? Go on, Zoe. It jumped for joy, didn't it? Now, normal babies in mummy's tummies, they wriggle, don't they? They wriggle around, but Elizabeth's baby was a special baby, and Elizabeth's baby had come to prepare the way for the Lord. And do you know what? This is amazing. John, that little baby, started doing that job even before he was born. So even before he was born, he said, the Lord is here. In the language that actually only little babies in mummy's tummies can do, which is by jumping for joy. Elizabeth understood what that jumping for joy meant. It says, Luke says that she was filled with the Holy Spirit. And look at what she said in verse 43. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Do you see what Mary's baby means to Elizabeth? Elizabeth says, the baby is my Lord. Mary's baby is God. And so Elizabeth is full of joy. Do you ever jump for joy? Maybe some of our little ones can show us right here in the room. Can you stand up where you are and do a jump for joy? I'll give you some ideas that might help you. Imagine it's your birthday tomorrow. Would that make you jump for joy? Or imagine it's Christmas morning and there are loads of presents under the tree. Would that make you jump for joy? or imagine that you can go and play with your best friend. Does that make you jump for joy? Joy in the Bible is a kind of happiness that not even a sadness can take away. It's a kind of happiness that doesn't stop when life goes wrong. Joy doesn't just mean being smiley or having a party. It means we can stay positive even when we're sad. You see, Christmas is a time to celebrate because the Lord has come. Christmas is a time for joy, even in a difficult year, especially in the darkness. This baby brings joy. And we'll find out more about that in a moment. We've seen what the baby meant to Elizabeth. Elizabeth was full of joy. But what did the baby mean to Mary? Well, we know that because Mary sang a song and Luke wrote it down. And it gives us at least one of the things that Mary believed about this baby. Look at verse 46. Here's what Mary sang. My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things
for me. Mary's song, what kind of song is it? It's a praise song. Because of this baby in her tummy, Mary praised God. But what does it mean to praise God? What does it mean when Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord"? Well, another way of translating that first line is, "My soul magnifies the Lord." What's this? It's a magnifying glass. It wasn't a trick question, don't worry. When you look at something through a magnifying glass, it makes it look bigger, doesn't it? So you can look at, no, I can look at it both ways and it makes it look bigger. So if you're looking at a bug or a leaf or something that's really tiny and small, it helps you to see it properly. Now, our problem isn't that God's too small, like a bug or a leaf, and we need to make him look bigger. Actually, our problem is that we treat God as if he's small and weak. It's a bit more like looking at a star through a telescope. You know, if you just looked at the night sky with your naked eye, you might just about be able to see a star, but it doesn't look that bright or impressive. But if you had a big telescope that helped you look up into space, then you would start to see how big the star really is and how bright it is. You would see its real glory. Well, Mary praised God because she saw what God is really like. She said, "My soul glorifies the Lord. He is God, my Savior. He is the mighty one, and he has done great things for me." Glorifying God means treating God how he really is. It means living as if God really is big and mighty because, well, he is. I wonder how you would react if you found out you were having a baby and God is the dad. Or maybe it's easy to imagine if your mum was having a baby or your daughter was having a baby or your sister was having a baby or your friend, whatever, was having this awesome baby. If it was me, I think I'd think, whew, I must be a pretty big deal if I'm having this baby. Check out my awesomeness. But Mary didn't do that. Mary didn't do that, did she? Mary knew this baby would change her life forever. She says, "From now on, all generations will call me blessed." She knew that she would be famous. And here we are talking about her now. But she also said, "God, my Savior, has been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Mary knew that she was a sinner who needed a Savior. She knew that she was small and God is big. And she thought of herself as a humble servant. So she praised him. I wonder if you've heard of a man called Felix Baumgartner. I've got a picture of him, but you wouldn't recognize him from the picture. On the 14th of October in 2012, he did something amazing. Here he is, look. Do you know that guy? He went up and up and up, he wasn't holding on to a helium balloon. He was in this capsule, which was attached to a helium balloon. And he went up and up and up for 3 hours until he was 24 miles above the Earth. And then, do you know what he did? He jumped. That's right. He jumped out. And he fell down for 4 minutes and 20 seconds. He became the first human to break the sound barrier unassisted. Wow. Don't worry, he had a parachute and he landed safely. And he's still alive today. What do you think he would have said, having done that amazing thing? Do you think he'd say, "Ha, I'm amazing, give me your praise"? Here's what he said. He said, "When I was standing there on top of the world," that's not quite where I got to yet, Alan, "and you become so humble. You don't think about breaking records anymore." What did he think just before he jumped? He thought, "The whole world is watching me. I wish they could see what I could see." And then he said this: "Sometimes you have to go really high to see how small you are." That's amazing, isn't it? He'd just done this amazing thing, but it made him realize how small he is. And that's a bit like Mary, isn't it? God had given her this awesome part to play in his story for the world. But she didn't say, "Check me out. she realized how small she was. And she sang about how great God is. And the song's traditionally known as the Magnificat because it starts, "My soul magnifies the Lord." So here's a challenge for you to do later on today or later this week, is to do an acrostic poem, look like this. It's got Magnificat written on the left here. It doesn't really matter what you write on the left, does it? But there's a good start. Why don't you think of a word or a phrase for each of those letters that says something about how great and how awesome God is? Perhaps that's something you could do to reflect on these words. You could look at Mary's song to help you. What did the baby mean to Mary? Well, she praised God, her Savior, the Mighty One, her Lord. Well, I guess so far you might think, what's the big deal? Of course, Elizabeth was excited about the baby. She was full of joy. You know, obviously, Mary was excited. She was having the baby. But what difference does this baby make to me? Well, that's exactly what the second half of Mary's song is about. Let's have a look. What does the baby mean to us? And again, I've got a key word for you. It's mercy. Let's look at verse 50, right in the middle of the song. Mary sang, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." Mary praised God because of what this baby meant to her, but she also praised God because of what this baby means for everyone. For her, this baby is a proof that God shows mercy to his people. Now, mercy means he doesn't treat them as they deserve. Instead, he shows them loyal love. So imagine if we were throwing a ball back and forth. Who wants to throw a ball back and forth? Go on. Keep it going. Who else wants to throw a ball back? Actually, it needs to be someone else in my family. Chris. Oh. Imagine we're throwing a ball back and forth and we got a bit carried away. And then what happened is, can we have the next slide, Alan? Oh, no, next slide, come on. Yes. And we smashed the window. Oh no. What would it mean? Well, I guess I'd probably have to pay for it, wouldn't I? I'd probably have to pay for it. But then imagine if I went to tell St. Peter's School that I'd smashed the window and they said, "Well, Dan, if that's how you're going to treat our building, actually Grace Church can't meet here anymore." Oh no, that would be even worse, wouldn't it? Oh, well, is that what I would deserve? I think that probably is fair, isn't it? I think it probably is what I deserve. But then imagine if I went to the school, to the lovely staff there, and even though it's busy time of the year and they're really tired after a crazy year, and I explained what had happened, I said sorry, and they said, "Dan, don't worry about it. We'll get it all fixed. You don't need to do anything." Well, that would be showing me mercy. Not giving me what I deserve. I deserve to pay to get the window fixed, but they say, "We'll take care of it." That's mercy. Well, Mary knew that this baby inside of her was a sign of God's mercy to her people, the people of Israel. Just look at the end of her song, verse 54. It says, "God has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever." Why did she start singing about Abraham? Well, all of the people of Abraham were part of Abraham's family. And God had promised that someone in Abraham's family would come along and bring blessing to all the nations, to people around the world. But as a whole, Abraham's family, the Israelites or the Jews, had given up on God. That they hadn't just smashed a window. It's more like they'd kind of burnt the whole house down and they'd started throwing rocks at God. They didn't care about him. And as a whole, they didn't listen to God. But Mary knew that her baby had come to show mercy to those people. He wasn't giving them what they deserved. He was coming to rescue them. Later in Luke's gospel, when Jesus had grown up, Jesus said he came to seek and to save the lost. Yes. God was keeping his promise to Abraham. God was showing mercy to his people. God was making a way for anyone, anywhere to be friends with him again. That's what this baby means for us. We can have joy like Elizabeth. We can praise God like Mary because God has shown us mercy. This baby came to show us mercy. When he grew up, he showed it in his life. He showed it in his words, but most of all, he showed it. He died on the cross. You see, like the people of Israel, we've turned away from God. You might not literally have thrown rocks at the sky, but if he gave us what we deserve, that would be a punishment. But this baby Jesus, he died to take that punishment for us. That's why he came, to show us mercy. Do you ever think God is a bit like Santa? Who does Santa give presents to?
Everyone.
Does he? Haven't you heard the song? Look, it's got it here. We can sing it if you like. Oh, we're not allowed to sing. I'll sing it to you. Oh, but, whoa, what's going on here? Back a few. And it goes, he's making a list. He's checking it twice. He's going to find out who's naughty or nice. Oh, we're not allowed to sing. Santa Claus is coming to town. And then, this is a slightly creepy bit, isn't it? Let's have a look at the next bit. Next slide, he sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Woo! He knows if you've been good or bad, so be good for goodness sake. That's what Santa's like. Is that what God's like? It's a bit scary, isn't it? No, it isn't, is it? God isn't like that. God doesn't just give presents to good people. God doesn't just give good things to good people. God doesn't just love good people. God is merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Instead, he's given us Jesus. So what does this baby mean to you? Do you have joy this Christmas? A kind of deep down happiness that no bad news can take away, even if we're crying. Jesus came to bring you that joy. Are you praising God this Christmas? Will you admit your smallness? Even if you've got an important job or you've got lots of good things that God's given you, will you admit your smallness and praise God for his greatness? Have you received God's mercy? It just means saying, God, I've turned away from you. I know I have. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for my sins. Help me to live with him as my Lord. People all around the world celebrate one baby's birth because he's the only one who can bring this lasting joy. He is the only one who deserves our worship. And he's the one who came to show us God's mercy. No one else can make us friends with God. So let's celebrate this Christmas. Even though things are different, let's joyfully worship our merciful Savior. Amen.